Man kennt ihn unter anderem als Zwerg, Ork oder Elb in den Mittelerde-Filmen. Der neuseeländische Schauspieler Jed Brophy war bei Radioaktiv per Videochat zu Gast. Im ersten Teil hat er von seinen Charakteren in der Herr-der-Ringe-Trilogie erzählt. Wie sieht es mit seiner Arbeit in der Prequel-Trilogie Der Hobbit aus? Oder der Amazon-Serie Die Ringe der Macht? Und was ist seine Lieblingsrolle außerhalb von Mittelerde? Auf all das und mehr könnt ihr jetzt im zweiten Teil gespannt sein. Ursprünglich war für das Kinderbuch Der Hobbit eine zweiteilige Verfilmung geplant. Kurz nach den Dreharbeiten wurde verkündet, dass es zu einer weiteren Trilogie wird. Wie hat Jed darauf reagiert?
We found out at the wrap party, we'd already finished principal photography. I think even Peter was slightly blindsided. Certainly he had shot to edit two films. He had shot knowing that he was going to finish the first film at a certain point and that changed. I suspect that was probably a studio decision in terms of wanting to get more mileage out of it. The dwarves got very kind of miffed. We felt like the elves had taken the story off us. It became quite elf heavy in those later films, and that a lot of the stuff that we did shoot, a lot of the stuff that we as actors had in our early scripts got tossed aside to make room for that other whole storyline. And it did, it was a sort of a sense of unease. We felt like our story had been hijacked. Having said that, I still think that Peter and his crew did a remarkable, turnaround to try and make that happen. But yeah, it sort of did come out of left field for us. Didn't worry me. Another film, of course. That's another premiere, another opportunity to sell some more action figures. in a purely mercenary way, it was a great thing. And, getting paid to work on another film was great as well. But yeah, it was a bit strange. I've never had that happen before.
Jed spielt in der Hobbit-Trilogie Nori, einen von 13 Zwergen auf der Suche nach einem Schatz. Die meisten von ihnen haben ein aufwendiges Kostümdesign. Wie sehr waren die Schauspieler selbst daran beteiligt?
We got to design our own weapons. Peter didn't want everyone to have just Gimli's axe, so we were put with a designer from Weta Workshop. And yeah, it was an amazing thing to see what came from our heads, especially with the weaponry, end up on our backs or on our person. So we were given license to create these really rich backstories for our characters. And Peter said, you've been booted out of your family because you've been stealing from other dwarves. You've probably met wags before because you've been living rough. I had to be patted down in between takes because Peter jokingly said, and I took it to heart, if you can steal it on camera, you can keep it. I managed to steal 48 pieces of gold from Trollshaw while we were shooting. I managed to get it, every take I was putting stuff in my boots. And because I was doing the scene with Graham McTavish, I had to give half of them to him. I think he had 24 pieces of gold. Pretty sure I've given most of mine away to fans. I'm not sure what he did with his.
Die meisten der Zwergendarsteller haben in den fertigen Hobbit-Filmen kaum gesprochenen Text. Was muss man beim Spielen einer kleinen Nebenrolle beachten?
There's a lot that we have no control over. Nori has one line in the book. So for me, I went into it with the knowledge that there are dwarves that carry the story in the book as well, more than the others. And so, yeah, I mean, as an actor, of course, you want to do more on screen. The trick then became what we could create that wasn't with dialogue. What is my character feeling in terms of the scene and when we're running away from the wags? This idea that you're only acting when you're talking is kind of a fallacy, really, because when you're in a scene, regardless of what you're doing, if you're not playing the scene as a group, then the scene doesn't work. You've got somebody running in the wrong direction, or whatever, it doesn't work. So you have to have your ego in check in that situation. It's a bunch of 13 dwarves. Of course, it's going to be Thorin and Dwalin and Balin and maybe Feely and Kelly doing most of the talking because that's what it's like in the book. So the rest of us knew going into it, there's going to be a lot of days where we're just creating this incredibly rich background. And when you're getting paid well and you're getting fed well and you're getting employed as an actor, that should be enough.
Die Herr-der-Ringe-Filme erschienen von 2001 bis 2003, die Hobbit-Reihe von 2012 bis 2014. Zum Schluss der zweiten Trilogie ging für Jed eine Ära zu Ende.
I remember when we did have the final day of shoot for principal photography on all of the films, we realized that this was the end. This was possibly the end of the Middle-Earth experience for all of us, and it was a really sad day because, I thought this at the end of Lord of the Rings, we're never going to get to do anything quite as cool as this. I think it was very hard for them to turn around and do The Hobbit after Lord of the Rings. How do you top that? I don't think that it's possible. I think there was a lot of stuff on The Hobbit that was amazing. In terms of a piece of art, I think Lord of the Rings is out there on its own. There's something about those Middle Earth films that's just different. It's hard to even pin it down. I certainly know that when I watch these films, I come away with a feeling of hope. Maybe that's the same for everybody.
Aber Jahre später kehrte er auf dem Fernsehbildschirm nach Mittelerde zurück. In der Amazon Prime-Videoserie Die Ringe der Macht spielte Jed wieder einige Ork-Charaktere. Wie war es für ihn, in einer Fernsehproduktion über Mittelerde zu spielen? Dazu das erste Mal ohne Peter Jackson.
It was problematic in a lot of ways because there's a different structure in terms of the hierarchy. You've got five producers, you've got four or five directors, you've got showrunners. The tricky thing with Amazon was that it was really hard to get a cohesive answer because they were shooting not always in sequence. You'd be shooting on two different units doing two different episodes on a day. And so trying to get that cohesion was a lot tougher. I think that the technical achievements a lot of the time were as good because there was a continuum in terms of quite a lot of the people working on set there and the crew had been on those films. It sort of felt like being disloyal, you know? It's a weird thing to say because it was a job and that's how you sort of had to treat it. And it came at a time during COVID where there wasn't a lot of work. It was weird at times. It's like you're looking around going, where's Peter? And you can't help but go, I wonder what he would have done with the scene and how he would have made it different. Not taking anything away from those directors at all, but there is only one Peter Jackson. They're trying to create their own version, and good on them. I think it would have been unwise to try and replicate what he'd done as well.
Auf eigene Oscar- oder Emmy-Trophäen legt Jed keinen Wert. Das Coolste für ihn als Schauspieler sind eher Mini-Statuen, die ihm selbst nachempfunden sind.
You know, someone said to me, once you get an action figure, It's not about the money. It's just the coolest thing. When they sent us our Hobbit Legos, for me, that was one of the coolest things in my career. I love Lego. My kids love Lego. Spent countless hours playing it. But when you get an action figure of a character that you played as a Lego figure, that doesn't happen to most people, man.
Auch wenn man ihn hauptsächlich durch Fantasy-Filme kennt, beschränkt sich seine Filmografie nicht nur darauf. Jed ist am meisten stolz auf einen Film, der auf unkonventionelle Art mit einem kleinen Budget gedreht wurde.
There's a movie that I made with Mark Hadlow called Blue Moon, which is a movie that we made that we shot in 30 hours on a phone. It was shot on an iPhone 7. Why I love that movie so much is because everyone said it couldn't be done. We broke it down like a play where we broke the script down to six parts. We had six nights, 5 hours a night to shoot it. And Mark and I would map out every day how we were going to sort of play those characters and what level of emotion we had in the scene. And it's kind of pure acting. It's a film which is basically set in a service station between two actors. Yeah, there are other actors in it, but really it's a standalone piece with these two characters who knew each other 40 years ago. And I love that because I got to work with Mark, not in costumes, not in these hot and heavy costumes as Nori and Dory, but we got to use all of that theatrical background, all that theater training that we'd done to create these characters. We created our own kind of backstory about how we became these two people, along with the director Steph Harris. I'm really, really proud of what we managed to achieve.
Beim Dreh zu Blue Moon kam ihm seine Theatererfahrung zugute. Denn einen Film auf einem Handy zu drehen, erfordert andere Herangehensweisen als bei Blockbustern.
If you have a phone in your pocket, you have the ability to tell a story. You don't have to have a $250,000 red camera. We had a crew of seven shooting that film. You can do it with a very small budget and a very small crew. And every single shot in that film, bar one, is take one. We didn't have the time to go back and do take two, three, four, five, up to 40. Yeah, acting is all about the ability of just going, okay, if I'm going to fail, let me fail big. And then I'll get to retake it. A lot of the time on big films, you don't feel that you can because you don't want to be wasting that kind of money. It gives you a weird freedom when you know you can't redo it. You have to be fearless.
Jed ist bis heute auf zahlreichen Conventions zu Gast. Dabei macht es ihm besonders Spaß, ehemalige Kolleginnen und Kollegen zu treffen.
It's been a lifeline being able to travel to conventions. Tell stories with other actors about what it was like. You know, the panels that we do are the reason why I love going to conventions. You sit with a bunch of other actors and you reminisce about these cool things that we got to do.
Auch für den Austausch mit Fans nimmt sich gerne Zeit.
When you meet all these fans who have all read the book as well, they love the characters. they get to watch it, but they didn't get to be there when we made it. And I know that I'm blessed that I knew Peter. I was very lucky that they shot them in New Zealand. I probably wouldn't have been in them if they were shot in another country. This has given me an amazing career, bought me a house, all of those things. And so you then feel like you should be generous with your time. The trick is being interested in other people's lives and saying, what do you do? Where are you from? What part of the films did you like? I have traveled to conventions where I've seen actors be really rude to people. And I don't want that ever to be the case with me. You know, I'd be horrified to hear back that people thought that I was rude or intimidating or thought that I was all that, because that's not the way that I was brought up either. The fans have turned up to hear cool stories, and I have cool stories. That's why I got into being an actor. I love the art of telling a story well that gives some people something to take away or to laugh about or to think about. And for me, it's the storytelling. It's the maybe a story that they haven't heard before, being able to give people an insight into what it was like to be there on the day.
Die Strapazen von Langstreckenflügen über die ganze Welt nimmt er dafür ebenfalls auf sich.
Yeah, the jet lag doesn't affect me until I'm back on the plane flying home. And there have been times where I've been longer in the air than I've been on the ground. And that really screws you up. 30 hours and then you've got to go 30 hours back. And there's been a couple of times where I've gone straight from the airport to working for Peter. And he's like, are you okay? You look like you're really tired. I'm like, yeah, bro, I'm really tired. I've just come from Germany. I just come from Luxembourg. I've just been in Brussels, you know. And he's like, what were you doing there? And he finds it fascinating. Peter finds it fascinating. He's like, is it people still inviting you? I'm like, yep, they're still inviting me, Peter.
Zusätzlich ist Jet musikalisch unterwegs und oft mit Lord of the Rings in Concert auf Tour. Hier gefällt ihm vor allem der historische Aspekt der europäischen Konzerthäuser.
I had no idea how great a gig that would be. You can see people out in the audience crying at certain bits of music because it takes them back to watching those films in the cinema. It gets me too. I find myself sometimes sitting at the side of the stage really having to wipe away tears because I'm back there watching Gandalf and the Balrog fall. The music for that scene, that's the one that gets me every night. It's like, oh, right back there. So it's been incredible. Yeah, I've got to play in some of the best acoustic houses in the world, and we don't have that in New Zealand. You know, we have the Aotea Centre and we have the occasional opera house, but we don't have anything of that scale or with that level of history. There are places we've been to that Mozart played, Beethoven played, and you know, as a Kiwi, that's not something you even dream about. So, you know, I never thought that I'd get to do that. So it's been incredible.
Wie fühlt es sich für Jed an, als Fan der Bücher quasi sein ganzes Leben mit dieser Fantasy-Welt verbunden zu sein?
I read The Lord of the Rings when I was 10. And for me, growing up on a sheep farm, that ability to go into a fantasy world inside my head, being a sheep farmer, it's a grind. You're out there in the mud and the rain every day. But I was able to go on a horse and pretend to be Strider. And the sheep were the orcs, you know. I had this whole fantasy world in my head. And so the writing was very important to me as a young man. And I think for a lot of people, it starts with the literature. And I feel like I've come full circle. I started with the books, and then I'm touring with Roy Tolkien, the great-grandson. And we're talking about the books and what it meant to us as young men growing up. And I'm glad to feel that being a part of those films has given other people that kind of thing as well.
Das war Jed Brophy im Interview für Radioaktiv. Vielen Dank, dass er sich die Zeit genommen hat, Insider-Einblicke in die beliebte Kinoreihe zu geben. Und danke euch fürs Zuhören. Seid gespannt auf weitere Interviews mit Gästen aus der Unterhaltungsindustrie. Nächstes Mal mit einem englischen Schauspieler und Autoren, der Ende letzten Jahres in einem zuckersüßen Kinofilm zu sehen war.